In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ever since, or close to, the time when St. Gregory Palamas reposed in the Lord, we have been celebrating this particular Sunday in Great Lent in honor of him. Before that, this was actually the Sunday of the paralytic, as you could hear by today's gospel. But St. Gregory Palamas was so absolutely critical to the defense of orthodoxy in his day and age. He was glorified only 9 years after his repose, and after having suffered for so long, so many diatribes that were laid against him by Barlaam the Calabrian, who was a Greek monk from southern Italy, who was disputing some of the things that the monks on Mount Athos were doing. After all of this, this man who wanted nothing more, actually, than to be able to be in quiet and solitude and to pray and have a nice, peaceful life, this man was thrust into the limelight of the Orthodox faith. He did not want this. In fact, he wrote nothing except for a series of sermons. He wrote nothing on his own. In other words, he wasn't trying to trumpet his own theological concerns or anything like this. No, not at all. He started writing only when he felt that there were certain things that were under attack in the Orthodox faith. Now, what were these things? Well, particularly at this point in time, the difficulty was with how exactly do we approach God, and how does God deal with all of us? Because that's a critical question when you think about it. Because Barlaam, who was his opponent and was very, very wise man, who was very, very knowledgeable and had a lot of respect from a lot of people, well, Barlaam was someone who also had great pride in his own abilities. And he was also someone who was absolutely enamored with Greek philosophy. He loved Aristotle. He loved Plato. And of course, philosophy, as it is a something that is given to us, deals with only the concerns of human beings. And when philosophy leaps outside of that realm into the theological, then it becomes really problematic. For Barlaam, God, who was completely unknown to us, is someone that also can only interact with us through other parts of his creation. Thomas Aquinas had come up with the idea that grace was itself a creation, that it was something given by God to serve as a vehicle for him to communicate with us. And this was something that led to pantheism in the ideas of St. Gregory Palamas, because grace being a creature itself, and we being creatures ourselves, if we see that God is dealing with us through this medium of grace, which is found in all of creation, then it's very easy to all of a sudden identify the things of creation with the things of God. And we hear this today all the time, don't we? How many times have you heard people say, well, you know, I look at the beautiful flowers and the moon, and the trees, and the breeze of a nice day, and I know that's God. Well, as if God is in these things. God is not in these things. God is not in the flowers. He is not in the breeze. He is not in the beautiful day. He is not in the beautiful trees. No, not at all. God's vivifying spirit animates these things. It makes them do what they do, but they are in no way to be confused with actually being God. And St. Gregory was really very distraught over this idea, because he felt that the philosophers, and particularly Barlaam, was leading people astray And that they were saying instead that God is something that could be apprehended intellectually, thought of, these sorts of things. That's how we come to our conception of who God is. We think about these things. We see God in the trees. We see God everywhere, you know, at work somehow, but that He actually is completely apart from us, and He doesn't really ever touch us. And St. Gregory said, no, that's not the truth. God, of course, in His essence, who He really is, in that deep hidden part of Him that no one can ever understand, that is truly God, and we can't touch that. But God is also energy. God is also the sun giving way to the light and the heat. And the light and the heat we perceive. We cannot touch the sun. It would consume us. We can't know the essence of the sun. That's impossible for us. But we can know the heat and we can know the light. And for Bar-Lam, the philosopher, the sun was completely apart. In other words, if we look at the sun, there is no light. There is no heat. There's nothing there. The sun might as well not exist. And so Gregory was saying the same thing. If you can only think about God in a certain way, philosophize about God, well then, where is He? What is He doing? What good is God if we can't somehow, His creatures, interact with Him? And so this was a critical thing in Orthodox theology, because the monks of Mount Athos were claiming that through the prayer and practice of the Jesus Prayer that they could see the uncreated divine light, the uncreated energies of God. And Bar-Lam said, no, that's simply impossible. And Gregory said, well, it's not impossible because they're doing it. Because God in His energies touches us directly. He is not removed so far from His creation that no part of Him ever communicates with us. It is genuinely God Himself who stirs us, who moves us, who calls us to purification, who grants us purification. He does this in all the sorts of ways that we see that come within us in the church. Not only the prayers of the monks on Mount Athos, where they are seeing this uncreated light if they have purified themselves, but also in Holy Communion itself. That is, in reality, God. It is not a symbol. It is not something that has no meaning apart from the reality of God. It is real. It is genuine. God touches all of us. And that was the heart of this theology that St. Gregory was defending as being genuine and real and orthodox. The man suffered many, many years for all of this. He was imprisoned a couple of times. The Muslims actually caught him one time near Constantinople and put him in prison and treated him better than Bar-Lam and his friends did. He was finally ransomed and he came out of prison. And everyone in the Orthodox world understood that St. Gregory was the one who was proclaiming the true faith because of who he was, because of his genuineness, his simplicity, his directness, his loving care for his flock. They all knew Gregory to be this man who was demonstrating not only in his writings, but in his life, the theology that he was proclaiming as genuinely orthodox. Bar-Lam was finally defeated. Three councils were called at the end of Gregory's life, and they all gave acclamation to St. Gregory's teaching. But it was a long and hard road for him, and he did not live, you know, a hugely long life by any means. And this man who wanted nothing but to go off and pray, again, thrust into the limelight his entire life. Everyone knew of Gregory Palamas, who only towards the end of his life was made Archbishop of Thessalonica. So it's important that the church talks about this today, that it understands that when God deals with us, it is really God. Otherwise, if God is simply present in His created grace, which is all around us and resides in all things and all people, then why did Christ even have to come to earth? He came and became incarnate so that he could show us that it is God himself who touches us when he's here, as he did in the gospel of the paralytic today. He healed a paralytic in front of everyone, demonstrating that he was God. These four men who could not even get into the door because it was so crowded did a brave and brazen thing, decided to go up onto the roof, removed the thatch, and lowered this man directly in front of the Lord. And the Lord, demonstrating that it is God who touches us, says what? Son, your sins are forgiven. And of course, everyone around was, what do you mean? Your sins are forgiven. Only God can forgive sins. But the Lord says, okay, have it your way then. Which is easier for you? Is it easier for me to simply say, rise, take up your pallet and walk, or your sins are forgiven? But because of your weakness, because of you don't understand who it is that's among you here, I'm saying to this man, rise, take up your pallet and walk. And he did so immediately, demonstrating that the Lord, whether he's healing or whether he's forgiving sins, because all illness, as we know, every illness, every degradation, every depredation, every hint of mortality that we deal with in our lives today is because of sin. If sin wasn't there, none of this would be happening. But the Lord understood that. And in forgiving the man's sins, he was healing not only his body, which was much easier, but his soul as well. So St. Gregory's Day today is something we should all keep in mind and understand that God truly is with us in all things, that he truly does come to us directly as himself, not in his essence, again, because we can never know that essence of God. And so many people these days particularly, and I hear it all the time, when we're thinking about things that are happening to us, or why doesn't God do this, or why doesn't he do that, or why doesn't he stop the war in Ukraine, all of these kinds of things, we want to understand that, don't we? We want to know, not understanding that if we were able to know, we would diminish who God is. Because we cannot enter into that realm. We cannot understand what he knows, all the things that he does in this world, all of the things that he allows, which may seem good to us or which may seem evil to us. It's all in the mind of God, in his essence, which we cannot touch. So it's actually a sinful thing to even ask these questions the way that we do. We cannot know these things. These things are high. They are far beyond us. We cannot reach into the essence of God to understand all the things that he does. But what we do know, what he does communicate to us through his divine grace, through his divine energies, are the things that we are supposed to be doing. We wonder why there's war in Ukraine when we should be wondering why we can't recover from the sins that we commit against God every single day of our lives. If we were to do that, the idea of war would not even be in this world. It would be completely obliterated. That it all starts from in here. This is where the seed has to grow. This is where the love for neighbor has to come forth. And if it does, the world changes. So when we ask God these difficult questions where we don't understand things that are going on, we should first look in the mirror and ask about ourselves. Lord, show me to know myself. And then once I can do that, I will have a better understanding of your will in the world. This was the message of St. Gregory, to really look inside, to see the grace of God inside you, to see God himself touching you, living inside you, not as part of your essence, because he was not creating some way to deal with you. God did not need to create anything in order to touch us as the philosophers thought, but he comes to us directly, and especially during this time in Great Lent, when we're now 2 weeks into it, and we're wondering to ourselves, well, how well have we done so far? 2 weeks in, are we any better than we were? Are we enjoying spiritual reading every day? Are we praying more? Are we attending more church services? Those are but basic things. If those things aren't happening, then there's no growth taking place. So we must look to ourselves. We must look to the example of St. Gregory Palamas, who is the absolute prophet of the immediacy of God among his people. And if we do this, my brothers and sisters, lives will change, starting with your very own. Amen.